O Lord, my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds I answer. Oh, I consider everything you've done. I see the stars, yeah, the rolling thunder. What you sing, that sings my soul, that sings my soul, my Savior God. Oh, how great thou art, great thou art, that sings my soul. Oh, my Savior God, I sing, I pray you are. Sent him to die, I scarce can take it. Oh Lord, you are great. Then on the cross, my burden gladly paid. Oh, thank you, Lord. He bled and died. That sings my soul.
Let's read from Psalm 80. Let's read verse 1, just to get a thought here for the morning. Psalm 80, verse 1. Psalm 80, verse 1, the scripture says, this is David saying, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." That's a good thing. That he that dwells between the cherubim, which is the pillar of fire, David recognized that he was the shepherd of Israel. And he was saying, oh, thou shepherd of Israel, thou who leads Joseph like a flock. Let's also read Psalm 100. And we read verse 3. Psalm 100, verse 3. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. It's continually in the scriptures. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to approach unto thee upon this day. For outside of thee, Lord, we know that we can do nothing. We are nothing in this world outside of you. But in you we find ourselves. We find our purpose. We find our all in all. And Father, upon this day, we are a needy people once again. Father, we see the enemy would desire to work his work. Father, and how we would desire just to unite our simple faith together, Lord, to approach unto thee and to bring our petitions before thee upon this day. Father, firstly, for our sister Charlotte, Lord, in your precious name, Father, we would unite just our simplicity upon this day and come before thee. And Father, we ask of you, Lord, that you would move on her behalf. We would ask, Lord, that you would look with anger, Lord, as you did in days gone by, through the pillar of fire, Father, upon the enemy, and see, Lord, his works that he is trying to do. And may the enemy get fearful and fall back. And Father, as in that Exodus, Lord, we just pray that you would just bring a deliverance to our sister in Jesus' name. And every other person that's sick at this time, Sister Julie, we pray for her. Father, we wait upon you. Father, we've read that you are our shepherd, O thou that dwells between the cherubim. Father, you are the one that leads. You are the one that feeds. You are the one who protects. And Father, we bring this situation into your hands. Father, and we pray for our sister. She's one of your flock. Father, you are her shepherd. We ask and pray that your great attributes as a shepherd would manifest themselves even now. Against the enemy, we ask and pray. And Father, may you bless your people that have gathered here today, then that haven't managed to come for different reasons. We do pray for them. Have mercy upon them. But Father, bless your word. Guide us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We just have a couple of announcements here just before we get into the word. I don't know if this is working here. Yes. So next weekend, we have Brother Crosby Maliko is with us. We're really glad about that. And Brother Crosby now, he's pastoring in Leicester. We know Brother Crosby was with us 2 years ago. So we're going to have two services because Brother Crosby is going to preach for Brother Tommy on the Sunday evening. So we're only going to have one service with him on Sunday. So we're trying to combine two things. We had asked him maybe if he could do something to help the youth on Saturday. But then with the fact that he's only going to be preaching one service for us on Sunday, we thought we'd try to do a bit of a combined something. So Brother Tommy's youth, I think they're going to come down next Saturday evening. So we're going to have a service. But we've asked Brother Crosby if he can focus on the youth in the service. But everybody, please, come along. So it's like when the prophet preached that message, teaching on Moses, and he preached to the youth. But it was a message for everybody, because in different things, every single one of us are youth. You know, there's no old people here in the Lord, really, or spiritually. We all are just lambs. That's what we are. So that'll be normal time, Saturday evening. Please make sure that the youth come, your children, but we invite everybody to be there. I think it'll be a blessing. So we're trying to just combine two things, take advantage of Brother Crosby being with us for the weekend, and also trying to focus something on the youth. And also we're having mercy upon our youth, some of them who complained last time that it was too long. Last time when we had the meeting with Brother Bogdan, forgive us for thinking you are more spiritual than you are. We thought maybe you had gone a bit beyond that. So we're just trying to have just one service, just to try to build a bit of momentum. So please, if you'd pray for those meetings. And on Sunday, just normal service, Brother Crosby will be preaching for us. And then he's going to preach for Brother Tom in the evening up in Banbridge. Then the weekend after that, please pray for me. I'm going to Czech Republic. It's the winter youth camp there for Brother Zalish. So that's the following weekend. So I'm really earnestly asking for your prayers for the Lord to give me grace in going there. I would really appreciate the fact that the saints would keep me in prayer. So that's 2 weekends' time. Let's get to our topic today. If you can put the slides. We're going to use just a couple of slides here today. Our thought today It's an important thought. We want to look at the shepherd's attributes. You know, to those who were here on Friday, I don't know, but I had such a wonderful time here on Friday. It was a real wonderful time. On Friday evening, it was really unexpected to me. I was so sick the whole day on Friday. I ate something in the morning. I had such a headache. I didn't think I'd make it for service. The moment we got here for service, got in the back room, the people started to worship, the Lord just came and ministered to me. And I spoke on Friday about the shepherd's credentials. And to me, the Lord so ministered to me on Friday. It was just such a wonderful thing. And his presence really, really to me, it was so real and rich in my soul. And on Friday, we were speaking about the fact that there's only one shepherd who has the credentials to be the shepherd of our soul, and that's Jesus Christ. And we're looking at his credentials on Friday evening to show. And the one thought you got onto on Friday, which I wanted to continue on today, is this one of the shepherd's attributes. We started speaking on Friday to show that in God, you know, the prophet says it in the message, in many messages, but he says it in Does God Change His Mind? He says, God, the great spirit, the Father, in him was attributes. And he says, and these things you see displayed now, which was the ministry of the Son of Man, he says, is just his attributes being displayed. So God loves to display his attributes. And friends, when he displays his attributes, he becomes present tense. And that's what we want. Because without him displaying his attributes, it's history. And we don't really want that. And every single one of us, we need the expression or the manifestation of God's attributes to us. And then he speaks about the different things to do with these attributes of Jehovah. Now, on Friday, we spoke about it, that in God, right from the foundation of the world, when he was yet Elohim, when he was yet the self-existing one, in him there were attributes to be a shepherd. There were attributes to be father, because he desired a father's and children relationship with people. And in him were the attributes to be a shepherd. So he's always had these attributes in him. And what are attributes? Attributes are certain qualities inside of someone that wish to be expressed. So you have attributes in you. And it takes certain conditions to bring about the manifestation of those attributes. You may always have had the attributes, we've spoken about it before, to be a father. But until you have children, those attributes will remain dormant. But the moment the condition comes into being that calls upon those attributes, because you are a father or you are a mother or whatever you are, you'll find that those attributes will manifest themselves. And people will all of a sudden see something maybe that was hidden in you be made manifest. And Jehovah, Psalm 23, David is showing this to us very clearly. David, the whole of Psalm 23 is showing the shepherd's attributes of Jehovah. And if you really go and study Psalm 23, you will see some real outstanding attributes that David is speaking of that Jehovah had manifest towards him. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he speaks of the different attributes of a shepherd. He says, I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures, still waters, and all of these different attributes. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me. Though I walk through the valley, he'll be with me. All the different attributes of a shepherd leading sheep are in Psalm 23. And as we said on Friday, David was boasting in Psalm 23. David, he was looking at all of the shepherds of this world. He looked at Dagon and he looked at Molech, and he looked at the gods of Egypt, and he looked at all of the idols that people were trusting in. And David, he boasted, and he said, Jehovah, he's my shepherd. He knew, I've got the only one that has the credentials to be a real shepherd. He's my shepherd. All of these people are seeking shepherding. Because it's natural in every single one of us that we know that we need to be shepherded. God has made it like that. Now think of that. If God had attributes in him to be a shepherd, when he made us, he put attributes in us to be sheep. Because you've got to have the two. If he wants to express himself as a shepherd, he's going to have to make something that has the attributes to be a sheep. And the sheep attributes bring out the shepherd attributes. And if we are sheep, every time we become sheep, you find the attributes of him being a shepherd that can be expressed to us once again. But the moment we stop being sheep and we think we're the shepherd, then you find that the shepherd attributes don't manifest anymore towards us. And we wonder and we say, but hey, what's going on here? It's because you're now the one who's trying to express the attributes of a shepherd. Well, you need him to be the shepherd. But every time a person becomes a sheep and calls upon the attributes of the shepherd, it's in God, it's his desire to manifest himself. Those attributes are in him. He has the very desire to be a shepherd. You know, the prophet says an outstanding thing in the church age book. He says his bride gives God reason and purpose for being. You know, your existence gives God the reason to be a shepherd. And he always wanted to be a shepherd. So he's going to lead us into situations that we need shepherding. Why? Because he wants to show himself to us as the shepherd. So we're going to find times that we're trying to find green pastures and we can't. There's going to come times there's no still waters in our life and we're troubled. There's going to come a time the enemy, the wolf or the lion or the bear is going to come upon us. Or the various things that a shepherd is responsible to take care of. I just wanted to put this slide. I was studying on shepherds and sheep and I thought maybe that this one might help a little bit. These are the five fundamental needs of sheep. Sorry, Brian. The five, if you can do it for me there, Paul. On this screen. Sorry, we just fixed it. These are the five fundamental needs of sheep. Now, is it coming? Sorry, go up, up. There, one more. Here. The first thing that sheep need, they need summer pasture and winter feed. So sheep need to be fed. The second thing, sheep need fresh water. Without fresh water, they don't survive very long. The third thing is they need safety and shelter. Shade from the heat, shelter from the storms. The fourth thing they need is protection from their natural enemies. And the final thing, they need relief from wounds and bruises and parasites and the things which they come across. Because being a sheep, you're going to have misfortune. There's going to be times you bruise yourself, times parasites start to bother you, times you get disease. Now, these are the five fundamental needs of sheep. And if these are the fundamental needs of sheep, then these have to be the fundamental responsibilities of the shepherd. Because sheep can't minister to themselves these things. And if sheep need good food, good pastures, if there's a great shepherd that has shepherd attributes inside of himself, he's going to make sure that he provides green pastures for his sheep. And you'll notice each of these things, David pulls them out in Psalm 23. He leads me to green pastures. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. So because these are the fundamental needs that sheep have, these are the fundamental responsibilities, the fundamental attributes that a genuine shepherd, which is our good shepherd, will have. Fresh water, all these different things. Now, we'll get on to that, but let's look at the four requirements for sheep to rest. There's the four F's, they call them. Now, without these four things, sheep cannot rest. And without sheep resting, they don't put on weight. They lose weight. They're restless. And the first one, they must be free from fear. The moment a sheep is scared, thinks there's danger, it gets nervous. It runs here, it runs there, does this, it's edgy. It can't lie down and rest. The second thing, they must be free from friction in the flock. Because sheep, although they're sheep, sheep can be jealous. Sheep can be stubborn. Sheep have an order. They call it the butting order, that the old strong ewes, they want a certain place every day in the shade, and if someone else goes and lies in that place, that sheep's in trouble. They have that kind of an order. It's called the butting order. And that causes friction and strife, and as long as there's friction and strife in the flock like that, and jealousies, and I want that position, and I want this, and no, you in my place, and things like that, those sheep can never rest. The third thing, they must be free from flies and parasites, because those things can be a real distraction for sheep. And finally, they must have sufficient food. They must be well fed. So each of these are fundamental requirements for sheep to be at rest and for you to be at rest and me to be at rest. We're going to need these things as well. You take that one there about friction. If you have trouble in the home, are you ever going to be at rest spiritually? If your children are going astray, are you ever going to be at rest spiritually? If you've got problems in church, problems in the ministry, problems with the musicians, whatever, will you ever really be at rest? You'll be at home, but you won't be at rest. Those things will be going through your mind. Why did that brother do that? Why did that brother say that? Now, once again, each of these things, it's the responsibility of the shepherd to look after them. You know, I was reading a true story. It was interesting. And this man was telling about his sheep. And he had one big ewe, a mother sheep. And she was so cruel on the younger sheep. And he had to discipline her severely because of that friction that she continually would bring inside of the flock. But he says, whenever the sheep would be restless, or maybe there'd be danger threatening them or whatever, you would find, sorry, let's just bring Sister Julie. She's not right. She wants prayer. Let's stand up. Let's unite in prayer for our sister as she comes to the front. Amen. What we just do, we just call forth the attributes of the shepherd. That's what we want to do. The great shepherd, Jehovah Ra. And we ask him as our sister would come that he'd really minister to her. Because that really is the devil trying to work in the life of the sister. And we desire, like David said, that she might be at rest by still waters and green pastures once again. So the sister's just coming there now. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Amen. You may be seated there, saints. It's like Brother Bishop was saying in the morning and Brother Mike, that you know, the prophet says when you bring the sick up and you pray for them, they're not healed. You need to call a solemn assembly. You know, and if it continues like this with the way sickness is going on, then we really do need to consecrate ourselves, saints, because God has given wonderful promises in his word. He says, call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. But the prophet says also, like Brother Bishop said in the morning, if there's sin in the camp, you'll bring the sick up and pray for them and they won't be healed. And the prophet says that your unconfessed sin can cause this church to utterly fail. You know, so if it continues like this, saints, we really do need to call a time of consecration so that people will search their lives. Because sometimes, as we'll see as we get along in this topic, you know, sometimes your behavior, the prophet says your behavior can knock somebody else out from being healed. That's what he says. That's a serious thought. One person out of their position can have a knock-on effect on other innocent people. Amen. Friends, it's a serious thought in the kingdom of God. And that's why I really do believe that people who harbor sin or people who have things like that in their life, the Lord in the end, he deals very severely with people like that. Very severely because of the effect it has on the flock. You know, so let's search ourselves at this time. If there's something in your life, unforgiveness, if you've got something, let's make those things right. Let's get everything clear so that when we call upon the name of the Lord to manifest himself on behalf of his people, that he indeed does come riding in on the scene. And like the brothers were saying, if there's an Achan in the camp, if there's the Babylonian garment, if there's the gold wedge, although Joshua, it might be the Joshua Commission, you find that they turned their back to their enemies. They never overcame their enemies in that day. So let's pray about that in these next couple of weeks. Brother Crosby's here next week. I'm away the week after. But if it's continuous like that, sense, and we really will call for a time of consecration before the Lord so that the Lord might really go through the camp and make sure that all is well so that he may be glorified. Let's just get back to this thought. So the characteristics of shepherds and sheep, the needs of the sheep are obviously going to be the desire of the shepherd. Because that's the way that God has made us. So he desires to be the one to meet these needs. Now, I'll go through a brief story for the people that are new to maybe try to bring these stories up to date, to bring things up to date. Like we said last week, it's so wonderful in the message and it's so wonderful in the personal testimonies of people when you can take the principles of God's word, the principles that God has set out for us, and you can see them unfolded. You can see them in your life. You can see them in the lives of others. And the prophet here, when he speaks about this particular woman, we'd like to just take a few characteristics from this to bring out this thought of the shepherd's attributes. And the prophet is speaking here in the message, Led of the Spirit, 1950. We know the story, many of us. He's speaking of the woman in Memphis, Tennessee, the colored lady whose son was very sick. And now just to go through it for the new people who don't know it, the prophet, he was flying to Dallas. And he went in the airplane and they were flying on the way to Dallas and there came a great storm. And the plane, because of the storm, it couldn't go to Dallas. It had to be rerouted and he had to land in Memphis, Tennessee. And he came and he landed in Memphis, Tennessee. They said, "We're sure the storm will be over by tomorrow." They put them in a certain hotel, all the people in the plane, and told them, "We're going to come, whatever, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, collect you people from the hotel, and we're going to take you now back to the airport, and then you can continue on your journey." Now, to a natural person, it just looked like a natural event. There was just a storm. Aeroplane was diverted. But there was a difference to this story, is that there was a shepherd prophet on that aeroplane. And there was a need. And then he says, the next morning he got up, he had written some letters while he was there sitting in the hotel, and he got up early in the morning, and he wanted to go and post these letters. So he went out, it was really a lovely morning, went down, posted the letters. He says, and while he got in to Memphis, the letters in his hand, he says, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Stop." And the good thing about the prophet, he was a sheep as well as a shepherd. When the Holy Spirit said, "Stop," he stopped. And I thought, "Oh my, what's this?" And I walked over to the corner and I said, "Father, what would you have me to do?" And I stood still a few moments and I felt a real strange feeling move on me. And it said, "Turn and go right back." And the prophet turned around and he went back and he walked straight past the hotel again and he continued to walk. He says, "I was going on." And he says, "And I went way on down to the other side of Memphis. On down to the colored district." Now the brothers in Zimbabwe and South Africa and different places will understand that very well. The colored district of town. And you're coming from to the place where the colored people live. And the houses are small. And he says they were whitewashed shacks. This was in the days in America where there was still segregation. So the prophet gets down into the colored area of town. And he says, I was going along singing that song. I'm so glad that I'm one of them. He says, being led of the Spirit. He says, and as I passed by, he came to a house. And I saw a typical old Aunt Jemima, an old colored lady, with a man's shirt tied around her head, leaning over the gate. The sun was coming up. Roses around the gate. The sun kissing away the fragrance from the rose. The air was full. The birds were singing. He says, how glorious. And I looked at her as I passed by. And she was leaning over the gate. And she said, "Good morning, parson." Now a parson is a pastor. And a pastor is a shepherd. Amen. And she was standing by the gate. It was early in the morning. And she said to Brother Ram, "Good morning, parson." And I said, "How did you know that I was a parson? How do you know me?" She says, "I don't know you." "How did you know then that I was a parson?" She said, "Parson, did you ever hear in the Bible the story of the Shunammite woman?" Now, the Shunammite woman was a widow woman who lived in the days of Elijah. And she couldn't have children, but because she had treated Elijah so well, the Lord came and favored her, and she had a child. And there came a time that child passed away. And she had to call for Elijah to come to bring the child back from death. Now that's the story. Now this woman, she was reading in the Bible. Maybe she couldn't have children. And she one day identified herself in the word. And she said, "That's like me. I'm like the Shunammite woman." And she went and she prayed and she asked the Lord for a son. And she said, "Just like the Shunammite woman, the Lord came and gave me a child." She said, I was a woman that was barren too, and the Lord gave me a son. And I promised to raise him for the Lord. That was her promise. And she said, but he went out with the wrong company. And now he's laying in the house now. The doctors have done, give him all the injections, the shots they can. He's been unconscious for 2 days. The doctors say that he's going to die. He has a venereal disease. So he had a disease. He had got out among the wrong company. Now, when I read this story, the first thing and I saw that this was a real faithful shepherd mother. That's what she was. She was a shepherd mother, but she was a widow. You never hear any talk about the husband. He must have passed away, like in the days of Elijah. And she was a washerwoman. And she used to wash clothes to make a living, and it wasn't easy for her to do that. And she tried to raise her son. She had promised the Lord, if you give me a son, I'll raise him to serve you. And I'm sure when he was young that she took him to Sunday school and took him to church. And I'm sure she read Bible stories and did all that she could. But she had limitations like you and I of mortality. She was the best, I'm sure, shepherd mother she could be. But the sheep still went astray. Because when he got to a certain age, he got out in the wrong company. Now, I don't know if you saw the sad story this morning. The headlines on Google that Whitney Houston passed away. That was a sad story. 48 years old. I've spoken of it before because she used to serve the Lord in the days of her youth. She grew up in a Christian home. She learned to sing gospel songs in church. And I remember when I was first a believer and she started going out in her concerts and singing, and then they were interviewing her. It was in a newspaper and they asked her and they said, what do you do in your spare time when you're on tour? She said, I pray and I read my Bible. And it was so outstanding to me at that time. I said, hey, she had a real good upbringing. But then like the prodigal son, it's very sad, she went astray. And she went and joined herself to a certain citizen of the country called Bobby Brown. And that was such a bad mistake that she made. She got in the wrong company. And she got into drugs and she got into all of these things. And just, it's funny, just last week there was an article on the internet that there was a very strong rumor that she was bankrupt. That all of her money that she had earned through her record company and through all the big deals she made with Sony and all of this, that she'd used all of her money. And I thought of it last week. I said, that's like the prodigal son. He wasted all of his inheritance on riotous living. And she was in bondage. And she passed away just a few hours ago. She went through the valley of the shadow of death. And I thought to myself this morning, I said, I hope in the last days or hours of her life, she returned back to the guide of her youth. Because you don't want to go through the valley of the shadow of death without a shepherd. That's what David said. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. And I thought of it and I said, what a lesson it is to learn. Someone with such gifts and such ability like she had. And she was such a beautiful woman and talented and an actress and all the awards and the things that she won in this life. But if she didn't have a shepherd and a guide at the end of her life, all of that meant nothing. All of that meant nothing. And what a sad story. And it showed me when I read this in the morning again, I said, bad company corrupts good communications. Amen. No matter how good the upbringing and the background of a person is, bad company undoes it all. And she got herself with the wrong company. She got herself under the wrong influence. How did she learn about drugs? And how did she learn about the things that she got bound by and destroyed by in the end? Was the bad company that she kept. And she might have looked at Bobby Brown and said, hey, he's a good-looking guy, and oh, he can give me all these kind of things, a popular guy. Not realizing it was going to be the ruin of her life. And friends, it's a serious lesson to learn, especially as we say concerning marriage, is that marriage, the Bible says, do not be yoked together unequally with unbelievers. When your life is heading one way, you don't yoke yourself with another kind of an animal. That's what the Bible says. Don't yoke, the Bible says, a donkey or an ass and a cow. Things that are different in nature, things that are different in their aims in life. You try to put two things together under one yoke. At least one of them is going to suffer. And it's not going to be very easy. And the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Make sure you yoke yourself together with people of the same nature that are pulling in the same direction. That was a real sad thing to see, that somebody had so much potential, and it started off in the things of God, and had taken that inheritance and that talent that was given to her, and she squandered that inheritance. And it should be a lesson to us all. And that's what this young man did as well. He got out among the wrong company. And he was lying there now, and he had got himself involved in immorality, and he had this sexual disease now. And it was had eaten the valves in his heart. And there was nothing more that could be done. And this lady says, he's lying in there now. The doctors have given him up. It was too late before they caught it, and he's going to die. And said, but Parson, I know he's laying there dying a backslider. I prayed and I prayed and I said, Lord, you gave me the boy. Where is Elijah at? Now look what's happening here, friends. She's a mother shepherd, but she's come to the end of her ability. She's done the best that she can. Now she needs something greater. And one of the best things you can do in your life is realize when you've come to the end of your capabilities. And realize that you need to call for help. And this lady, she was praying and she said, Lord, where's your Elijah at? And she says, I prayed and I prayed. And this morning, a little before day, we'll see that she had a dream. And the Lord told me to come and stand here by the gate. And I've stood here because I believe in the leading of the Spirit. And she says, he told me to stand here. And the sun came up. And I kept just waiting. And when you came down the street, I knew you were the person. And I said, my name is Brannon. She told me what her name was. And I said, did you ever hear of my services? And she says, no, sir, Parson. I told her about them, and the tears began to run down her cheeks. And she said, I knew the Lord wouldn't let me down. Amen. Friends, the young man's lying there dying. She's done all she can do. She said, Lord, I'm going to raise this man to serve you. And it was out of her control. The young man went astray. But she still goes back to her shepherd. And she says, Lord, you are my shepherd. We went into the room. They laid a fine big boy. About 160, 70 pounds. A picture of health. The blankets gathered in his hands like this, going, And she walked over and patted him on the cheek and said, Mammy's baby, as old as he was. But you know, that's a mother's love. You always mama's baby. No matter what you do, it's never forgotten, mother's love. And I took a hold of his feet. And his feet was cold and I thought, oh my, he's dying. And I said, Auntie, he's in awful bad shape. And she said, yes, sir, Parson. The doctor said he had never gained consciousness no more. I held his feet and I said, shall we pray? She said, yes, sir. And she prayed first and then the prophet prayed. And he says, and when I prayed, he started to say, Mammy, oh, Mammy. She said, he's talking, Parson. He hasn't talked for 2 days. He said, Mammy, it's getting light in the room. It's getting light in here, Mammy, because the mother told you, says, he's where he is, he's like on a boat, on a dark sea, and he doesn't know where he's going. That's where he thinks that he is. And it's a moment that now God sent this prophet to manifest the shepherd's attributes to this boy. The moment the prophet came in with that pillar of fire, that young boy, when he was prayed for, said, it's getting light. And then he went on to say, Mommy, I can see where my boat's going now. You see that? Right from the edge of eternity, the young boy. God starts to bring him back. A few minutes later, he was on the floor, rejoicing and happy. Let me just show you a couple of things that the prophet brings out from this in another message. He says, and a greater witness than John says, she said, I couldn't stand to see my baby die in that condition. Knowing I'd promised the Lord to raise him to serve the Lord. And I prayed all night last night. And I said, Lord, what can I do now? You know, friends, it's never too late with the Lord. It's never too late. It's never too late with the shepherd. That's the wonderful. This boy was unconscious. He was never going to gain consciousness again. He was on his way into a godless eternity. He was on the dark sea heading towards destruction. No shepherd, no pilot in his boat. No one guiding him across the Jordan at that time. But that mother, she took it to the great shepherd. And she went and said, Lord, what can I do now? Friends, you know, there's some people that just keep going on and on and on. Just things getting worse and worse and making this worse and that worse. And they never come to the stage that they go to the Lord and say, Lord, what can I do now? But that is the attributes of a sheep. Because a sheep knows that it can't do anything in a situation like this. This sheep here is not having a good time. This is a cast sheep. We spoke about it on Friday. It's a sheep that accidentally has got caught on its back and it can't. A sheep on its back cannot right itself up again. It's called a cast sheep. Sometimes they roll over, they lie down and they fall over and the center of gravity changes on their backs. And then they start to panic because they realize and they make it just worse. And then there's a buildup of gases in their stomach and it starts to paralyze their limbs. And if the shepherd doesn't come, this sheep is absolutely doomed. He cannot right himself. Let me show you the next one. He has another cast sheep. That sheep's not having a good time either. That sheep is stuck and will never be able to get itself out of that peril that it's in without the shepherd. And the thing which I like about that picture, there's other sheep there, but those sheep can't help that sheep. You see, there comes a certain place that sheep cannot help sheep. You can try to help your children and beat them and shout at them and all these things, friends. You're just like that sheep trying to help that sheep. That's all you're doing. You'll just make it worse. What you got to do is call the shepherd on the scene. Because the shepherd is the only one that can come and set that sheep right. And sometimes we need to stop what we're doing. Sometimes we need to look at the system of the way that we're running things. The way that we're leading ourselves. The way that we're leading others. And we need to stop and say, hey, I'm calling a halt here. Because I'm a sheep. And I'm trying to do this as a sheep. I need the shepherd here. I need to call the shepherd on the scene. And here's the mother. Maybe this colored mother. And there's her son. And the son is helpless. He's a lamb that's gone astray. A sheep that's gone astray. He's going to perish. But she realizes one good thing. If I can just call the shepherd on the scene, something can happen. Although it seems to have gone too far, the situation. But it hadn't gone too far. And she prayed all night. And she says that. She says, what am I going to do now? Now listen what the Lord says to her. This is in the message, A Greater Witness Than John. The first thing you know, she says, I went to sleep and I dreamed a dream. And I saw a man coming. Now, the thought I want to really get to you today, friends, is the fact that God, his attributes are manifest through people. The shepherd attributes of Jehovah are manifest through the body. I want to really show you that. God has shepherd gifts. There's 5 ministerial gifts and there's 9 spiritual gifts. And these are God, the great shepherd's way of manifesting his shepherd attributes to us. I just want to show you that. Because this lady, she calls upon the good shepherd and she says, my lamb has gone astray. I've tried my best. There's nothing I can do for my son anymore. Lord, what am I going to do now? And there's a shepherd. A prophet shepherd in the land, and an angel's come to him in a cave and has ministered a gift to him. A gift of deliverance. That's a shepherd's gift. He had a shepherd's gift, the prophet, of deliverance. And God, looking down at that shepherd mother who had got to the end of herself, who couldn't change that situation, he spoke to a storm. But this time, Jehovah didn't speak to the storm to disappear. He spoke for a storm to come. And that prophet shepherd is going to fly right over Memphis, Tennessee on his way to Dallas. But the great shepherd, the good shepherd said, I need this gift to go and minister to that sheep. Because it needs this shepherd gift in this man to bring deliverance to this sheep that cannot deliver himself. And the aeroplane comes to the storm and can't go anywhere and has to land. And the prophet goes out in the morning and the Lord, the spirit of the shepherd, leads the shepherd prophet right to the shepherd mother because there's a sheep that's gone astray. Amen. And it seems beyond human hope. Amen. That situation. But this lady prays and she says, Lord, I was like the Shunammite woman. Amen. Where is Elijah? Amen. That was an inspired prayer. Amen. And God speaks to a storm and sends Elijah to her. That shepherd gift of Elijah. And she says, I saw a man coming with a tan suit on and a tan hat on his head. And that's how the prophet was dressed walking that day in Memphis. Now listen what the Lord said in the dream. And the Lord said, here's my parson. Here's my parson. Here's my shepherd. Friends, what a wonderful thing. God sent us a shepherd to this age. God's choice of a shepherd. The Lord said, here's my shepherd. You've done your best in your ability as a shepherd mother, as a shepherd parent, whatever you can do. But it calls for something higher now. It calls for a deeper manifestation of the shepherd's attributes to bring forth deliverance to this young man. And she said, that was about 3 o'clock when I woke up, and I've been standing here ever since waiting for you. So we can see God's divine method here. And I think, friends, this is where we miss it many times, each and every one of us, is we fail to see that the spirit of the shepherd uses gifts to manifest the attributes of a shepherd. God, the prophet says, done nothing outside of man. He does nothing. Man is his instrument that he uses. So if God is going to express his attributes to us, the good thing about it is he sent shepherd gifts. Let's look at these shepherd gifts. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. First of all, just a reminder, this isn't really our topic, but just to bring about a real important thought. In Ephesians chapter 4, because there's been a lot of questions about gifts recently, and it's very good questions. Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at the shepherd's gifts. This is speaking about Christ, verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So the shepherd gave gifts unto men. And what are these gifts? Verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And then he goes on to explain what for. So these are the fivefold shepherd's gifts. So if we want evangelism here, friends, we've got to look at our own limitations and say, hey, I don't have the gift of an evangelist. We need to call an evangelist. We need to get ourselves in contact with that shepherd's gift. If we need that shepherd's attribute to seek and to save that which is lost, which is one of the attributes of a shepherd, we need to go and find someone who has that gift. And we need to invite that person to come. And then the spirit of the shepherd comes upon the shepherd's gift and manifests the attributes of a shepherd. And the shepherd goes and seeks and saves that which is lost. Now let's look at some of the other shepherd's gifts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 because there's the 9 gifts of the spirit. And these are just as much shepherd's gifts as well. Though maybe they have a different function, but these are the manifestations of the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll read from verse 7. Paul says in verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So a gift inside of a person is for the benefit of the whole body. It's not for that person themselves. But the manifestation of the Spirit, when the great shepherd's attributes are manifest through a gift, it's for the benefit of the whole flock. Because a flock are going to need that kind of a manifestation of that kind of an attribute. And it says in verse 8, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's one of the shepherd's gifts. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. So there's going to be certain people that are going to have a lot more faith than you and I. Because they've been given a gift of faith. And we, like the shepherd mother in this story, we're going to do our best with our shepherd gifts that we're given. You as a shepherd father, you as a shepherd husband, you as a shepherd mother, us as shepherd ministers and the different roles we have in life. We're going to do our best, but there's going to come times like that shepherd mother in Memphis, Tennessee, where it's beyond us. And we need a shepherd's gift, which God has particularly put to manifest himself to that situation. We're going to need those things. He goes on. Verse 9. Faith. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That's what we always say. How wonderful it would be if we had someone here with a real gift of healing at this time. Because we can go with our shepherd's gifts, anoint people, pray, and God has honored that many times. But there's certain times like now where you would so desire the shepherd, like he did to that mother at Memphis, Tennessee, to send that gift to her. He sent the gift to her. She didn't have it in her house at that time, but there was a need for that gift. And the good shepherd, he saw his sheep, that boy, was ordained unto eternal life. He wasn't supposed to die lost. So God had to change the whole weather system to bring a man with the right gift so that the attributes of the good shepherd of deliverance from the enemies could be manifest. And friends, he's the same Jehovah now. He's the same Jehovah today. And if we seek him as our shepherd, he will send everything that we need. Because he desires to manifest his attributes to us. But when we become self-reliant and think we don't need anything, friends, none of us can do everything. None of us have all of the shepherd's gifts. These are gifts that are in the body, and we need the manifestation of these gifts. We can never do away with the gifts of the Spirit. Never. Never do away with those. Those are the shepherd's attributes. The way he can manifest the attribute of healing is through a gift of healing. The way that he can show his knowledge, his leadership, and his guidance, a gift of wisdom and understanding, knowledge. We need those gifts. Amen. Then he goes on to say, verse 10, to another the working of miracles. Amen. You tell me we don't need miracles. We need miracles. Amen. That's a shepherd's gift. Amen. That's a shepherd's gift. To another, prophecy. You think you don't need prophecy? Go and read the book of Acts. Paul, the prophet, shepherd, apostle of the age. God used prophecy to direct him at times. Separate me, Barnabas and Paul. Different ways. God has these specific gifts in men. And God, by his gracious goodness, because of his desire to express his attributes to us and to shepherd us fully as our shepherd, he puts these gifts in men. Continues on. To another, discerning of spirits. Amen. Brother Tom was testifying of it the other day. Brother Overton. That's a powerful shepherd's gift, friends. Amen. We need those gifts. Amen. You might think you don't need those gifts. But there's going to come situations the Lord allows to come in our lives because he wants to reveal those attributes to us. Amen. So he allows situations to come where we need the shepherding. Where we need this manifestation of these shepherd's gifts. Like this woman in Memphis. Amen. She got to the end of herself. I'll show you just now how godly she was. She was a genuine believer. But she needed to call for help. She needed something from without. And friends, there's nothing wrong with admitting that. It just makes common sense many times. But so many times we stay in our problems and we stay in our trials and we get nowhere. Why? Because we don't want to call for help. Amen. We're too proud. But God has put gifts in men. Amen. What for? For the whole body to profit from. For you to profit from. That's such an important principle. These are the shepherd's gifts to manifest the attributes of the shepherd. And you get in the presence of a shepherd's gift and you have a genuine need. And the anointing comes upon the gift and that becomes the shepherd's voice to you. Amen. That's how God guides you. That's how God speaks to you. In your own measure, God's given us the greatest gift, the Bible. You can get the spirit of the shepherd on you and read the Bible, and that's God's voice to you. But sometimes you need more than that. Sometimes you're going to read the Bible, you don't understand what it means, and God's going to have to send his voice to you. And that's going to need a shepherd's gift and the shepherd's spirit to come on the shepherd's gift. And that becomes God's voice to us. And then he speaks of the other gifts. He speaks of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Friends, none of those things will ever be taken out of the church. How? How? Those are gifts. Now we were speaking there at Brother Mike's house the other day. This 9 spiritual gifts aren't to lead the church. They're not to lead the church. It's the 5 ministerial gifts that are to lead the church. The 5 ministerial gifts, the Bible says, are to bring the church to perfection. The 9 spiritual gifts never bring you to perfection. The prophecy said they're to keep the church clean. They're to direct you in the specific circumstances. Thus saith the Lord, brother so-and-so, don't go down to the sand pit tomorrow because it's going to be an accident. Those specific things where the shepherd wants to guide you in a specific way. Friends, how wonderful to have those gifts. Who wouldn't want those gifts? Anybody who's a sheep, we have need of those attributes to be manifest to us. So let's never discount those kind of gifts, friends. There's teaching in the message that there's no more need for the gifts of the Spirit. Friends, the prophet says the fivefold ministry is gifts of the Spirit. He says, how can you have the fivefold ministry gifts and not have the 9 gifts of the Spirit? It's all the same working of the same God. It's all the gifts that the shepherd gave to his church to manifest his attributes to his church. I believe that. Now, speaking, I had a real wonderful talk with Brother Alan Conn on the phone the week before last. He was with Brother Tom. We know Brother Alan, he's been here and preached to us last year. And he was with Brother Tommy when they went to Uganda and Kenya. And he preached a lot, Brother Alan. And Brother Alan told me something very interesting. He said, Brother, he says, when we went to those churches there, and then God so blessed those meetings. He says, the conception people have is that those churches were prayed up and in the spirit and having revival. He says, I've never seen such defeated churches in all my life. He says the condition, he says the people were tired. The people were worn out. He says, but God's grace came to visit them. And I said it to him, I said, Brother Alan, you've confirmed something to me. It's the shepherd's responsibility, not the sheep. He restores my soul. He anoints me with oil. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And he said it to me, Brother Alan, he said, Brother, I used to think that to pull down the third pull and those things, you have to fast and pray and pull things out of God. He says, yes, we must do those things. He says, but I learned when I was there, that's not the way that it is. He says, it's the grace of God to his people. He said, it was absolutely God's grace. He says, no one deserved that visitation of God. And who of you and I deserve the visitation of God? You'll never deserve it. He says, but it was God's grace. And he said to me, he said, Brother, I'm so convinced you're going to see those things start happening around Europe now as well. God's going to visit his people the same way. He says, because he's the good shepherd and he cares for his sheep and he wants to manifest the fullness of his attributes to his sheep. And friends, whichever way God wants to send his attributes to us, let's not be picky and choosy. Let's not say, well, I don't like that person. I don't like the way. Be careful. Because many times it's the good shepherd trying to manifest his attributes to you. Be very careful what we do about those kind of things. Now, listen what she says to the prophet. She said, I've been waiting here since 3 o'clock to see you. And when I saw you coming down the street, you were the same man I saw in the dream. And I knew you were the parson. Amen. And she said, won't you come in? Now, that seems a simple thing. Amen. But you can keep the shepherd out. You can keep the attributes out sometimes. She might have said, I don't want a white person coming and praying for my son. I'm a colored person. It can be like that. Friends, we can have those kind of barriers. But God's gifts are without color. Because it's the shepherd himself manifesting through a gift. The Spirit of God has no color. She might have, you can see, the prophet says she wasn't from our kind of church. She didn't know anything about the prophet and his ministry and deliverance and all this. Maybe she was a Baptist lady. She might have just said, who's this man? Where's he from? Oh, he's from a charismatic Pentecostal sort of a background. We don't need a man like this. I want my Baptist pastor to come and pray for this man, my son. And I'm sure she had asked her pastor to come and pray, but it needed a greater level of gift. She needed to refer it another step higher. And that's what I like about this lady. When the Lord spoke to her and she saw her need, she had confidence in the shepherd to say, I'm calling upon the shepherd. And God sent his solution to her situation. And when God sent his solution, she opened the gate and she said, come on in. And she made the shepherd prophet welcome. The shepherd prophet with the shepherd gift of deliverance that she needed for her son. She made him feel welcome in her house. And the prophet says, she opened up the gate and I walked into that little colored person's house that morning. There was no rug on the floor. Just a little old iron bed shed. Now his point, but I tell you, if I ever walked into the presence of God, I did there. Is that not interesting? She had such a powerful anointing in her house. But she didn't have that anointed needed a way to manifest the attribute of deliverance. You can have the anointing in your house. You can have the blessing of God in your house and still have sickness in your home, like she did. Because you need to discern God's way of ministering as a shepherd to that situation. You can have the anointing, but she needed a certain channel of that anointing to come to focus in on that particular deliverance that was required at that time. Now that's a strange sort of a thing to think about. That the great spirit of the shepherd was in her house, but her son was going to die and go into a godless eternity unless the shepherd sent one of his gifts to her. And she recognized, she knew the blessing of God. She knew God is with me. God hears my prayers. God gave her a dream. God didn't say in the dream, you go and pray for your son. I'm sure she prayed for him many times. God said, I'm going to send you my person. I'm going to send you my solution here. I'm going to send you someone that has a gift suited exactly for your situation. And when God sent now that attribute in a man, she opened up and made him welcome. And he walked in, the man, not even knowing why the prophet says, I don't know why I was there. I don't understand what was going on. But the prophet shepherd, with the shepherd's gift, walks into the presence of the shepherd spirit. And the presence of the shepherd spirit comes on the shepherd's gift, and it becomes an attribute of the shepherd to bring deliverance to that young boy. And that's how God works, friends. And God doesn't change his pattern. And that's why every single one of us, no matter how long you've been in the Lord, no matter how wise you are in the things of God, we depend on one another. We need God to minister to us his provided way. His provided way. She says that. The prophet said, I tell you, if ever I walked into the presence of God, I did there. There was no pinups on the wall. There were no pinups. There was no football stars, Hollywood stars. And all of those things. Because the shepherd spirit doesn't feel welcome in a place like that. Because he will share his glory with nobody. And if you're worshipping the actresses of this life and the musicians of this life, he's sure not going to be worshipping him. Because you can't have two shepherds, like we said. You can't have two people leading you in life. You can only have one shepherd at a time. And if you want to be led by yourself, he's not your shepherd at that time. Says that. There's no pinups on the wall. There was just a little picture hanging over the door saying, God bless our home. It was clean, he says. And that's the greatest thing that you can do. If you want the Lord to bless and minister to your children when it's beyond your help, when you've done all that you can, if you want the Lord to come and minister to sickness and problems in your home, the best thing that you can do, create an atmosphere in your home that the shepherd spirit feels at home there. And then God can minister and manifest in whichever way that he desires to send the solution to your problem. So she had the presence of God in her house, but she needed the attributes of God to be manifest. And there's two different things there. The anointing had to come upon a prophet's gift, a gift of deliverance, a gift of healing, so that the good shepherd could reach forth his rod and his staff and deliver her from her son from the enemy. That's what it required in that situation. And that's what she waited for. And she said, Parson, he doesn't know anything when the boy was dying. He hasn't known anything for 2 days. All he talks about, he says, he's out on a big deep sea and it's all dark and he's lost. And she started crying and she said, if only I could hear him say that he was saved. I'd be willing to give him up. Now, friends, this was a lost sheep. But you know he had an advantage. He had a shepherd mother. Amen. He had a shepherd mother. He had a shepherd mother that could pray and lay hold of God. And God could step into that situation. And the prophet prayed and how the boy was healed. And the prophet says, and I hurried out and I called me a cab, a taxi, and got back to the hotel. And you know what? They rushed me over to the airport quickly. And the plane was making its first call. God, for that poor, illiterate, colored woman, grounded the plane and held it there until her prayer was answered. I tell you, God in his sovereign grace. He says thousands of those things could be called tonight. For that poor, ignorant, colored woman, he stopped and grounded a plane in a storm and held it there. And he's just as concerned about you and I. He's just as concerned, friends. But the only thing is we need to be sheep. So that when he comes, because sometimes he's timid the way that he comes. And he comes and he wants to gain an entrance, but you don't want to open the gate to him. Because we think we know. I don't need somebody to come and pray for me. You've got to be careful with that kind of an attitude, friends. You've got to be careful. Because sometimes that's the way that the shepherd's attributes want to manifest to you. Like we always give the example of that mother there who saw the baby sick in between the meetings. And something spoke to her and says, go and pray for that baby. And she said, how can I pray for the baby? I'm a nobody. Let Brother Branham pray for it in the prayer line in the evening. And it spoke strong and says, go and pray for the baby. And she went to the mother and said, do you mind if I pray for your baby just to find some relief? She said, go ahead. And she prayed. And then the lady took the baby up in the prayer line in the evening. And the prophet says, this baby was sick, but it's healed. And it was that lady there who prayed for it, and God healed it when she prayed. Amen. That was the manifestation of a shepherd's attributes as well. Amen. The prophet says healing in the body. Now, sometimes it's as simple as that. But that lady might have looked and said, I'm going to get Brother Bram to pray for my baby. I don't need you to pray for my baby. Bring it on the other side. God has his ways of doing things. We just need to be sensitive that when the shepherd leads, we just follow, because he knows how to minister his attributes to us in our times of need. Now, he goes on and says, 6 months later, he's in the train. The prophet is passing through Memphis, Tennessee, and he got off the train because it was too expensive, the food on the train. And he got off to go to a little restaurant to buy some hamburgers. And then he says, and I got there and I heard somebody shouting, a little man with a red cap running, saying, hello, Parson Branham. I said, good morning. He says, you don't know me, do you? I said, no, I don't believe that I do. He says, you remember that morning you came down led of the Lord and you prayed for a boy that was dying? I said, you're not him? He said, yes. You know, I ain't sick no more. I'm a Christian now, Parson Branham. I'm a Christian now. Amen. You see how the sheep was brought safely back to the fold. Amen. Though he was right on the borderline between time and eternity, and you would have thought it's too late. It's gone too far. But a shepherd mother referred it to the good shepherd. And the good shepherd started to move things, so that he could manifest his attributes as a seeking shepherd of deliverance to bring that young boy back. The whole key, friends, is let's always be sheep. To be willing to follow his leadership whichever way that he desires. To accept whatever it is, the way that he desires his spirit to manifest itself to us. I'll give you one more example before we close. This is from the Messenger Guide. Now, the prophet gives us another key in this message. Now, in this message, the story behind this is the prophet's not been married for very long. His wife passed away. He's married Sister Meda. Billy Paul's about 4 years old, 5 years old. Branham goes out to Hurricane Mountain. He goes out now with his wife and his son. And they're going to spend a bit of time hunting, have a little bit of a honeymoon there, he says. The prophet and his honeymoons, when he went hunting with his wife. And the prophet now, he leaves Sister Meda there. And Billy Paul, he says, it'll be wonderful if you can go and maybe I can go and hunt a little bit before it gets dark, shoot, maybe get our winter's meat. The prophet says, because we had gone around in the summer, we had picked blackberries and stuff. Billy Paul went and sold them, and we got enough money to buy our coal. Friends, these people that believe in prosperity preaching, they must read the message sometimes. The prophet had to go and pick blackberries and sell them to get coal for the winter. And then he says to his wife, I'm going to shoot something so we can get some meat for the winter. Yeah, this is a prophet shepherd to the age. Hey, And the prophet says to Sister Mead, okay, you stay here with Billy Paul, leaves him up in this camp right on top, a lean-to. Not even a proper cabin. The cabin was locked. It was only going to be opened by the ranger the next day. And then Sister Amita says, look, but Billy, we don't know our way around here in the woods. Come back before it's dark. And Brother Ram says, I took off. And he went down and he was hunting. And then he thought he smelled a bear. And he followed where it went down through these valleys. And finally he gets to a stage where he comes out, thinks it's a bear. And out comes a big deer. And he shoots it. And he dresses the deer and sets it all ready. And says, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. You gave us our winter's meat. And then he tries to find his way back to the camp. And he says, I took off again. And I thought I'd make it this time. I just wasn't noticing. He had tried to find his way back and he got his way back and he came back to where he started, to the deer. He said, I watched every little move everywhere. He was trying his best to find his way back where he had come from. Watching. I kept searching and searching and searching. The clouds coming. I knew a snowstorm was on the road. The fog was hanging low. And I said, I'll go a little bit further. And I went on and on and on and on. And I said, this is strange. Looks like I've seen this place before. And I looked and there hung my deer. You know what I was on? The Indians call it the death walk. Now friends, spiritually we can be on the death walk. We just keep going round and around, putting a lot of effort, trying to lead ourselves, trying to fix our situations, and we keep coming back to the same place. When it comes to that, be careful. Be careful who's leading you. Because the good shepherd doesn't lead us on the good death walk. The good shepherd knows how to lead us home. But when we think we can lead ourselves, we get ourselves on the death walk. And a man with the caliber of the prophet, he got himself on a death walk. And he says, well, I thought I was too good a guide to ever be lost, see? Nothing had to tell me in the woods. I knew my way around. And I started off again and I said, I can't make this mistake. And I came around back to my deer again. You see, we get too sure of ourselves sometimes. Sometimes because of our age, naturally speaking. We think, I don't need somebody to lead me. I've been a father for years. These people can't tell me anything. I've been a mother for years. I know what I'm doing in my life. I'm much older than some of these people. Be careful of that. Be careful. The prophet was a prophet. But when he thought he could lead himself, he could get himself out of that situation, he couldn't get himself out of that situation. And I kept hearing something say, I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. What was happening? The Lord was trying to speak to him. And the Lord was speaking to him. And God has different ways of speaking to us. The Lord was trying to get his attention. But the prophet says, but I just kept walking on. We all do that. We all do that. I can't get lost. I'm a guide. I've been in the message for years. No one has to tell me what to do. Yeah. Enjoy the death walk. It's not a very pleasant thing to be on. To spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and keep coming back to the same place. I thought, now I'm getting a little bit off now. I'm hearing voices talking to me. But I kept going on, whistling, you know. I thought, now I'm not lost. You know where you're at, boy. What's the matter with you? You can't get lost. You're too good a hunter to get lost. The prophet says, but you can't bluff it. Because the way down here was a little wheel turning saying, boy, you lost and you know that you are. See, you lost. What is that? That's the sheep attribute trying to express itself. You see, God put that defense mechanism enough to know that I'm lost. I can't do this now. Here I am. There I am. That's where the prophet was. He was a cast sheep. He couldn't get himself back. But he thought, let me struggle and struggle. And the more you struggle, the worse it gets. You know, the only thing that's going to save you then is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd started to speak to him. I'm an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And the prophet says, I'm too good a hunter. I don't need anybody else. I'll find my way, boy. And the little sheep instinct inside of there that had been put there by God before the foundation of the world started to say, you need the good shepherd, my friend. You need the good shepherd. And let me tell you something further. Not only he needed the good shepherd, but his wife and his child needed him to get back in line with the good shepherd as well. Otherwise, they were going to be in a lot of trouble. And that's the problem when the father shepherd gets out of the leadership of the good shepherd, the flock are going to be in trouble as well. Because his wife and his child were stuck up there in the mountain. The prophet says, I kept moving on. I'm not lost. I'll be all right. I'll find my way out. And things began to look funny and the wind started to close and the snows began to fly. And I thought, my wife and my baby, oh my. And directly I heard that again saying, I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. And I was the minister of the gospel then preaching right here at the tabernacle. Friends, it doesn't matter about our qualifications, how long that we've been in the Lord, what we've done, what the Lord's done in, through, or whatever in us. We need him to lead us every step of the way, friends. The moment we think we don't need him, we get ourselves in trouble. The moment we think we can do it, we no longer have the attributes of sheep anymore. And once we lose the attributes of sheep, he steps back from being the shepherd. And sheep, when they try to lead themselves, things don't go very well for them. They get themselves out there in the mountains or caught up there in the thorn bush or whatever that it is, or find themselves as cast sheep. And I kept moving on. I'm not lost. I'll be all right. I'll find my way out. And then I looked and I thought, what can I do? And I stopped. Sometimes it's the best thing to do, friends. I've had to do that so many times in my life, just to stop and say, Lord, I'm not going any further now. I'm not going any further. I need you. And the fog had come down already. That was it. Nothing could be done then. I thought, what can I do? And that kept getting closer. I'm an ever-present help in a time of trouble. A very present help. The shepherd had the solution. And he just wanted the prophet, shepherd, to become a sheep again. And to re-say, I need you, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And then he was going to minister a solution. It was naturally impossible now. The fog had come down. How's he ever going to find his way all those miles back to Hurricane Mountain? Amen. Never. And I thought, is that God talking to me? Amen. And I took off my hat. And I laid it down and I took off my coat. And I said, Heavenly Father, I'm hearing a voice speak to me. Amen. Is that you? Amen. And I said, Lord, I'm going to admit to you that I ain't no hunter. I can't find my way around. You have to help me. I'm not fit to live doing the things that I've done. Coming here and thinking I know too much about it ever to get lost. I need you, Lord. Friends, that's a wonderful place to get to. Just to come to that place to be a sheep again. Just say, Lord, I need you. I can't lead myself here. Lord, I need the manifestation of your attributes of a shepherd on my behalf. But Father, the more I'm trying myself, the more I'm getting myself in trouble. And the prophet says, my wife, she's a good woman. My little boy, his mother's gone on. She's trying to be a mother to him and I've just married her. Yeah, she has a kid there in the woods. They'll both die tonight. The wind, it'll turn down to 10 below freezing tonight. And they won't know how to live. They needed a father shepherd to show them how to survive during the night. But the father shepherd needed to be a sheep so that the good shepherd could lead him back to his flock. So that he could be a father shepherd and show them how to survive in those kind of conditions. You see what happens to us all, friends. And friends, look in the message what happened. What happened? The shepherd stopped being sheep in many instances. And the moment we shepherds stop being sheep, then the flock's in trouble. Because then we're going to teach our own ideas. And we're going to lead people the way that we think that they should go. And we're going to cause all confusion and division and things like that. Because no matter how many years you've been in the Lord, you're still a sheep. Amen. No matter what ministerial office, no matter what gift is in you, you still need to be a sheep. Amen. Because it's the anointing of the good shepherd on the gift. That's the only thing that can help the people. Amen. And you've got to keep yourself in the spirit of a sheep. Otherwise, you're going to lead the sheep astray because, friends, sheep cannot help sheep. And to me, that picture, when I saw it, I said, that is exactly how we are. And look at the other sheep there. Not even worried. in the background there. That sheep's relaxing, enjoying itself in the green pastures. And this one's perishing here and can't help itself. And the other one's looking and saying, it's going to be all right, brother. Just have faith. Things are going to be fine. But sheep can't help you. Only believe. But sheep can't. You know what they needed there, friends? The whole situation's going to change when the shepherd gets in that field. Just get the good shepherd on the scene. And all of those sheep are going to be rejoicing. Every single one of them. And he says, I can't find my way around. Won't you please help me? I'm lost, God. I'm lost. Forgive me for my own self-centered ways. I can't do anything without you. You're my guide. Help me, Lord. You're my shepherd. Help me, Lord. It's in you from the foundation of the world to be a shepherd. But Lord, I'm a sheep. There's a need in my life. I'm calling forth the attributes of the shepherd to come and minister to me as a sheep. And every time he becomes sheep, he'll do it. Then the prophet says, just then, I felt something touch me on the shoulder.
Amen.
Amen. Friends. Amen. You know what I put down in my notes here, the words for that song? I'm trusting to the unseen hand.
Amen.
Let me just read you the chorus. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land.
Amen.
And some sweet day, I'll reach that strand. Still guided by the unseen hand.
Amen.
Friends, we need the unseen hand. And today more than ever, we need the unseen hand. And the prophet, he felt this hand on his shoulder. He said, it felt like a man's hand. It was the good shepherd. And quickly I turned around and there was nobody standing there. And he says, in the Bible laying behind before me here, God, my guide and judge standing here. I looked up and right back this way, the fog cleared back till I could see the tower on the top of Hurricane Mountain. That was a miracle. The fog just cleared out in a channel for miles. And then he saw the tower on the top of the mountain. But you know what happened just before that? The prophet, he prayed and he said, Lord, guide me. And he says, and I got up and I said, now I'll fix myself the best way that I know how to go. The best of my understanding. And I started walking this way. And I said, this is it. I have to make myself believe I'm going the right way. I'm going this way. And if I'd have went that way, I would have ended up in Canada. See, the best of our understanding. He would have ended up in Canada. Exactly the opposite direction. Until the unseen hand came and touched him on the shoulder. And he turned around and the Lord opened up the clouds. And he saw, whew, I was going exactly the wrong direction. He says, I was going right straight away from it using the best of my hunting ability. I was going away from it, and yet it was real late in the evening time. Friends, I don't want in this real late in the evening time now where we are. I don't want us to be getting away from the things that we need. And this year we need the Lord to help us, friends. We need the Lord to help us. We need him to lead us. I want to see more of his attributes. I'm sure you do the same. I want to see more of the manifestation of the good shepherd. I'm so glad the things that he's done. I'm so glad that he's kept us safe thus far. But friends, there's far more in God that we should be calling upon than we are. There's so much more that we should be expecting for him to manifest himself to us. Just coming to a close. He finishes off and he says, that was a horrible experience. And a great experience to find my way out. But that wasn't half of it, because one day I was lost in sin. I went to church after church trying to find something. I went to the Seventh-day Adventists and they said, keep the Sabbath. Quit eating meat. I went to the Baptist church and they said, just get up and tell them that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and will baptize you. There wasn't anything. But one day out in a little coal shed, I held my hands up and I caught a hold of something that was real. Something got a hold of me, the lifeline, the guide. And he's led me safe thus far. And I ain't going to take my hand off of that wire. I'm holding my hands to him. He's brought me safely thus far. I'll trust him to lead me the rest of the way. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, He will lead you into all truth. Friends, that's what's brought me to where I am today. It's made me what I am. And I can gladly introduce it to you. It's the only guide that I know. For here on earth and up there. He's my guide when I'm hunting. He's my guide when I go fishing. He's my guide when I talk to somebody. He's my guide when I preach. He's my guide when I sleep and when I come to die. Like Whitney Houston did just a few hours ago. He'll be standing at the river. He'll guide me across the way. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they'll correct me and guide me across the river. He says, let us pray. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship as we meditate on that. Friends, he's never changed. But we change. Sometimes we think we can do something about it, or we know better. And look at the situation we get ourselves in. We make shipwreck of our families, make shipwreck of our lives. And all he wants us to do sometimes is just to call a halt. Like that colored lady in Memphis said, Lord, this is beyond me now. Lord, what can I do now? And he'll send the solution. Or like the prophet, to take off your hat and take off your coat. Get down on the ground and say, Lord, forgive me for being self-centered. Forgive me for thinking that I knew something. You are my guide. And I need you. And then the shepherd can send his shepherd's gifts. And the shepherd's spirit. And he can anoint them. And he can manifest his shepherd attributes into your current situation. And then you can say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Sometimes the best thing that you can do is just call a halt and just lift up your hands and say, Lord, what can I do now? And friends, I believe an honest and sincere cry from the soul, every time he'll come on the scene. And when he comes on the scene, just make sure, when he comes to your gate, why don't you just open it up and say, Lord, come on in. And when he comes in, what a difference that will make. Your life may be in darkness like that young boy, but as soon as the good shepherd himself came, accompanying his shepherd prophet, he started to say, it's getting light in the room, mommy. And friends, that's the way that you bring light into the darkness. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He has every solution.
Amen.
Let's all speak to him concerning whatever it is that we need. And let's remember Amen. The people that are sick.
Amen.
That the Lord might have mercy upon us at this time. Let's pray.
Where he leads me,
where he leads me,
I I'll go with it. All the way. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. All I want to be, what God wants me to be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. All I want to be, what God wants me to be. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark.
Let's just keep Brother Francois and his family in prayer. They're away this weekend, coming back this week. Let's pray for Brother and Sister Dubey as well. I think Sister Dubey's just got back from her journey, so let's pray for them as well and encourage them along the way and any other needs that we have. Let's bow our heads today. Let's ask Brother George if you wouldn't mind closing for us in prayer this day.
Oh, Jesus, the great Bishop and Shepherd of our soul.
Yes, Lord.
Father, how we thank Thee, Father, for this that Thou hast led us to today.
Oh, Lord.
Father, this is spiritual feed in due season,
oh,
Father.
Lord,
how if we could just take these principles,
Amen.
Father, and apply them to our lives. Lord, Savior, Father, Father, we'd meet, Father, Lord God, all those promises on the other side.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, as You said to Your disciples, Father, those blessings are for this life as well as the life to come.
Amen.
Father, give us, Lord God, a spiritual rest. Give us, Father, Lord God, those spiritual daily manna we need, Lord God.
Amen. Yes,
knowing
Lord.
You need, Lord God, Father, precious beloved Savior, You are the great shepherd that governs the whole church. But Lord, You have placed shepherds in each assembly, Father.
Amen.
And how, Lord, Father, if we could catch that revelation, that Lord, Father, You would send the shepherd upon a daily basis, Father, with spiritual feed for us, oh God.
Amen.
And at this time, Father, oh, Father, we desire, Lord God, that this, that You, Father, would require for us, Lord,
Amen.
That we'd ponder upon it, Lord, and we'd really, Father, get into it, Lord, until we
Amen.
Be changed, until, Father, we be in a condition where those gifts that were ministered unto us, oh God,
yes,
can
Lord.
Be made manifest amidst us, oh
Amen.
God. Knowing indeed, Lord God, You respect Your orders. You respect,
Amen.
Father, Your word.
Yes.
Father, Lord, if we follow Your word, Lord God,
yes, Lord.
We would have those gifts in abundance amidst us, oh
Amen,
God.
Lord.
Father, Lord, we are grateful for we have them in portion.
Amen.
But we believe, Lord, Father, in due season, we would have them in their fullness, oh
yes,
God.
Lord.
Lord, if You continue to shepherd us, Lord, and we be faithful sheep, Lord, Father, that we follow the shepherd that You have given us, Lord,
Amen.
Even in this assembly, Father. Lord, Father, give us grace, Lord.
Please,
give
Lord.
Us mercy, Father, that we as a church, we'd say amen to Your word, Lord.
Amen.
That we'd be able, Lord, Father, oh God, mighty Savior, to follow as You would lead, Lord.
Yes,
bless us now, Father, even as we part. Keep us, oh God, knowing
Amen.
Indeed, Lord, there's needs that are amidst us, Lord. Father, sickness, Lord. Yes. Father, work, Lord. Father, and the many other things, Lord. Savior, how we would desire, Lord, Savior, to rebuke Satan.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, who would desire to come and squatter our inheritance, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we would not, Lord, Savior, allow him, Father.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
God, even near us, oh, God.
Amen.
Help us, Father, that we, Lord, Savior, would be wise sheep, Lord, that we'd listen to your shepherd at this time, Father.
Amen.
Stay within, Lord. Father, the boundaries of your word, where, Lord, Father, Satan cannot touch us, oh God.
Yes,
Father, Lord God, help us, we pray, Father.
Yes.
For, Lord, thou knowest, Lord, Savior, Lord, that this age is complicated, but yet a blessing, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
God. Help us now as we part. Keep us, oh God, how we would desire, Lord, Savior, Father, to hear testimony, Father, regarding
Amen.
This word, Lord.
Amen.
Father, for you, Lord, Savior, promise to give us those very attributes that we need, Father, amidst this journey, Lord, Savior, God.
Yes, Lord.
Bless, Lord, Sister Julie, Lord.
Amen.
Give her a complete recovery, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
That this, Lord, Savior, Father, Lord, God, enemy, Lord, Father, we'd hear and see no more, Lord, Savior.
Amen.
Father, we pray likewise for our Sister Charlotte as well.
Amen.
How we would desire that enemy, Lord, Savior, we'd see no more, Lord,
yes,
Savior. Lord, that she would, Lord, Savior, give testimony like she did,
Amen.
Lord, Savior, on the 1st of January, Lord, Savior,
Amen.
Of your grace that is ever, Lord, Savior. Father, Lord, shining amidst our lives, Lord, Savior,
yes,
God.
Lord.
And give each and every one of us as sheep, Lord, Father, a purpose of life, Lord, Savior, God.
Amen.
A reason to continue on, Lord, Savior, God. Help us not to live defeated lives, Lord,
yes,
but to live victorious lives, Lord, Savior,
Amen.
God. And give us, Lord, Father, a spirit of expectation,
yes,
in our next service, Lord, Savior, that we'd
Amen.
Come, Lord, Savior, with a hunger and a thirst and a curiousness for your word, Lord, Savior,
Amen.
For knowing indeed, Lord, Savior, like you did, Lord, Savior, Father, for the lady in Memphis, Lord, Father, you brought down, Lord, the plain, Lord, Savior,
Amen.
Lord, and the prophet came with a message, Lord, of deliverance unto her, Lord.
Yes.
We believe likewise next week, Lord, Father, you'd bring our brother, Lord,
Amen.
With a message of deliverance, Lord, Father,
yes,
Lord, to heal the wounded dove, Lord, to heal, Lord, Savior, the wounded sheep, Lord, Savior,
Amen.
And give us strength to continue on, Lord, Savior, God.
Yes.
Bless us now, Father, and bless this word, Father, even unto our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
Let us continue speaking of it, Lord, Savior. Let us continue, Lord, Father, pondering upon it, Lord, Savior. Remembering our brother Brian, we ask your grace, Lord.
Amen.
Father, you,
yes,
the great
Lord.
Shepherd of the flock, Lord.
Yes.
Father, may you shepherd him back, Lord, to the flock, Lord, Savior. We ask your grace, Lord. Give him no joy, Lord, even in the things that he do now, Lord, Savior.
Yes.
Lord, that he'd soon return, Father.
Amen.
Lord, Father, Lord, the sheep, Lord, Savior, where the pastures are green, Lord, and the
Amen.
Water is healthy, Lord, Savior, God.
Yes,
we ask your grace, Lord, as we part, part with us, oh God. And Lord, Father, until we meet again, Father, be with us, Lord. Bless our brother. Bring him back safely, brother Francois.
Amen.
Keep us now, Father, we pray. Grant us, Father, oh God, your mercy and your grace. Father, we as your sheep, we look to thee, thanking thee for your goodness. We
Amen.
Ask of these things in the name that's above all names, the great bishop of our soul, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless saints. Meet you, whoever can be here next Saturday, 6 o'clock. God bless you.
I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. For I want to be, for I want to be what God wants me to be. For I want to be what God wants me to be.